Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
It is 7:05. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I woke up this morning to a celebratory spirit in my household. My oldest son, Andrew, graduating from Park High School today over at Aldridge Arena. Our family came to town, my best friends, LaTanya and Fanchon, and LaTanya's husband, Ken, and Andrew's godfather, Chris, my parents. We've got a big gumbo playing. Sean's making cinnamon rolls, and I'm ready to go see my firstborn child walk across that stage, hear his name call. He gets his high school diploma before he heads off to college. And then I'm thinking it's going to be party time. But one of the people that I follow on social media and that I love watching on the news is Kent Erdahl. Over at Care 11, an amazing award-winning journalist and reporter here in the Twin Cities. We are so blessed and lucky to have him here broadcasting the news. And I saw on Twitter, because I was supposed to be paying attention to my child graduating, but I was on Twitter. And he was reporting about a 4-year-old nonverbal boy missing. Last scene this morning. And I said, well, we got to cut this party short. And I got to go on the radio and talk to Kent Erdahl so I can get the backstory on this story and bring you the latest about what's going on. And Kent is kind enough to join us on a Sunday night on this show, on this station. Kent, thank you so much for being here and taking the time to chat with us.
Hi, Shaletta. Thank you so much. I wish it was under different circumstances. And I wish I had more to share, because right now we're still waiting for our first update as members of the press from Hopkins Police. It's supposed to happen in any minute. And I'm kind of watching it from just down the block. We've got another reporter here today. And, you know, up until this point, we've just been sharing alerts that we've been getting along with people in the city of Hopkins throughout the day. This was, a lot of people mistook it for an Amber Alert, because that's what it sounded like on phones. For anyone that was in this area or has been in this area, you know what I'm talking about. But for those that are outside of the area of maybe Hopkins here, you probably didn't hear it. I didn't hear it this morning, just down the road in Minneapolis. But what happened was an alert that went out, I think between 10 and 11 a.m., was just describing, and I can just kind of read what we know so far, Shaletta, about this four-year-old that you mentioned. We know his name now. It's Waes Ali Mohammed. As you mentioned, nonverbal, autistic, black child, 3.5 feet tall, 40 pounds, short, black, curly hair, no shirt or shoes on when he was last seen. And we believe that he was last seen on security camera at the apartment here in Hopkins near Blake Road and Lake Street Northeast. I say that because in talking to police for much of the day, we only had one photo of this little boy, and it was with his shirt off and with no shoes on. And that we just heard was taken from a security camera. We still don't know a lot of the details about when, you know, that time between 7:30 in the morning when that photo or when he was last seen. We don't know exactly what the circumstances were there between that and then when he was reported missing. But it's tragic right now. So many people have come out, dozens of people, since we started sharing it on social media and kind of amplified a little bit beyond this area. First of all, from the very beginning, there were churches and others in the area here that just came out saying, what can we do? Where do we go? And then many more people have come since this kind of has gone wider. And we've seen dozens and dozens of people throughout the day coming to this area, walking around. But the really troubling part about this case is that we know, based on him living with autism, that he's startled by noise. I know that you have personal experience, Shaletta, knowing how difficult it could be for strangers coming out and hundreds of people searching and maybe sirens and everything else, searching for a little boy who's startled by noise. He's also, we were told, drawn to water, which is horrifying because less than a half a block from this apartment is Minnehaha Creek, and it's running really high and really fast. And there's a park just on the other side of the bridge that we were told by friends or people that say they know the family that he would kind of know his way toward, and there's water in between. And so there's been a lot of focus here with searching on the river banks, along some of the wooded areas around here, in the water, around the water, and still just kind of no information in terms of where things are at.
Kent, this is just so near and dear to my heart. I've got three kids on the autism spectrum, and my son Daniel was a wanderer. And I have to tell you, my house is like Fort Knox. We have combination locks on all exterior doors. We have the video monitors. We have the chirps on the doors. We have deadbolts in addition to the combination locks. And just yesterday, we were having a little gathering for my son, Andrew. And, you know, some of the teenagers were in the house playing video games, and they got locked in the house. Like, they couldn't get out. They couldn't figure out how to find their way out of the house. And that's just, you know, some of the precautions that we've taken to keep, you know, Daniel and the other children safe. Because, again, unless you have a child with autism or you have information, you don't understand that you can't go out and call their name, Kent. You can't scream. You can't put sirens out. You can't make a lot of noise. And they are drawn to water. And somebody, I remember them telling me, why don't you just teach them to swim? Well, if they can't give you eye contact and they can't talk and they can't follow simple commands and they are nonverbal and they can't do the things that normal developing kids can do, it is almost impossible to teach them how to swim. And it's something about that water. When we moved back to Minnesota with our children so they could get autism services, because this is one of the best states in the country for services for children with special needs. And I remember the realtor showing us a house, and there was a lake nearby. And we were like, no lakes, no water of any kind. We have to be maybe even so far away from any body of water that we you'd give us 2 or 3 miles of a head start. And that was very difficult for us to find somewhere to live where we did not have a nearby body of water, because we needed that security and safety that if he did get beyond the deadbolt, if he did get beyond the combination locks, we already knew where he was heading, and that was to that water. So this is just so heartbreaking. And I've been seeing it shared, you know, on the autism Facebook pages and social media sites that I'm a part of, because this is any parent's worst fear, you know, that a child right. in need of help can't even call out and say help. Or mom or dad, because they are nonverbal. So that just adds another layer of, you know, just complexity to this story. I know the police are coming out any moment now. We're waiting for an update on the story, more information. Have you, and I know you've been on the scene, what's it been like? I know there's some nearby churches out there who've been looking. Is it just people in the community? Have you seen family members? Can you tell me more about what's going on out there?
Yeah, I mean, it has been nonstop, people coming through, a lot of people asking us questions. And, you know, it's kind of this mix of apprehension, heartache, and also there's been some frustration, because I think when people come out, they think, okay, what can I do? Where can I go? How can I help? What's being organized for a search? And for various reasons, I don't know all of, I don't really know a lot, because we haven't been updated all day beyond the alerts that have gone out. And we have the same questions you do. There have been the same questions that you raised by everyone here, along with frustration about, well, why isn't there more organization so that people know that they're working in tandem with whatever's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And stretches, well, you know, this stretches all over the city. And all I can tell you is I know that Hopkins PD is trying. I was told, you know, they've got everybody that they don't have a lot of people, and
right.
they're all kind of all hands on deck and trying to search in different ways. We don't know. We haven't heard, you know, about the situation of how he got out, or did he get outside of the building? Do they know that for sure? How much have they checked inside? We don't know any of that. We've heard some rumors. We've heard some things, as you well know, when you get out to a scene as a news reporter, you hear a lot of things. And then you relay a lot of those things to maybe an officer on standby or someone that's near, and they kind of roll their eyes because they've heard it too, and a lot of it's been checked out. And, you know, even while we were here, checking out another tip came in that maybe they saw him somewhere, and then we didn't hear anything else. All I know is that they've said for the last 2 hours that they were going to update us around 7 o'clock, and as best as I can tell right now, looking at it, everyone's still kind of on standby in a holding pattern. So I'm not sure. What I can say is that they have not stopped searching, and searching in many different ways. They've had dogs walking the neighborhoods, walking along the river. We've seen boats in the water at a pond nearby that are no longer there. There's been drones up and down all day long. They've been going door to door, trying to get Ring doorbell video, asking people to look in any nook and cranny around their houses. And I know they took some family members around in a squad car. We heard some, I don't know if they were maybe playing a song that he is, you know, would be gravitating towards. So they've been trying different things. They haven't been blaring sirens and all of that. So I know they've been in touch with the family, but I also know that there are a lot of questions about the circumstances, like you mentioned, and we just don't have any answers. And so it's hard to know.
Well, I'm glad that you have shared with us what you do know, taking this time tonight to chat with me. I appreciate you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you guys stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 7:21. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And today we started off on an absolute high. My firstborn son, Andrew Brundage, the author of Andrew Does His Dance, graduated from Park High School. All of our closest friends and family members came to town to help us witness this historic moment. I was giddy. I was excited. We tried to scream louder than any other family over at Aldridge Arena. And yesterday we had, you know, the little celebration at our house, invited all our friends and family and neighbors. And, you know, I tried to do the official thing. You know, I made little invitations and did it old school style, you know, put it in the mail, USPS. And we had Miss Lushick, the principal at Gray Cloud, came by, Mr. Phil Kimmel, the athletic director, all of our neighbors. Carla Bangham was there, our Washington County commissioner, Justin Olson, our Cottage Grove city councilman, our police chief. I mean, baby, it was so beautiful. But there was one person who did not come. And I said, now, where is she? Where could she be? I know I sent the invitation. It did not come back. Where is Miss Charlene Wilcox? Miss Wilcox was Andrew's seventh grade math teacher, the first black teacher he ever had in his life. And I was so excited for my son, Brandon, to get to Cottage Grove Middle School so Miss Wilcox could be the first black teacher he ever had. And then she retired. And I said, oh man, my baby's not going to get to be in Miss Wilcox's class, because Miss Wilcox was so nurturing and loving, and Andrew fell in love with her. Our family fell in love with her. She just took such great care of not just Andrew, but all her students, right? And so people kept coming, and I kept looking down the street and like, where's Miss Wilcox? And just moments ago, on my Facebook Messenger, I get a message from Miss Wilcox. Miss Wilcox has not checked her mail in 3 days. Miss Wilcox did not get the invitation to the party until today. And Miss Wilcox is on the phone, so I can get on her right now for not checking. Miss Wilcox.
Shaletta, I am so mad at myself. I could not believe, because, and you're thinking, where am I? You know what I've been thinking? Where's my invitation to his grad party? I have been in and out all week, and I spent a night with my daughter and went from her house straight to a birthday party, and I'm just in and out all week. And finally, today, I check my mail, and I see this little card, and I'm like, I saw your return little sticker, address sticker. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I got it. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, it's later on. It said June 8th,
yes.
And today's the 9th. I could have just cried. I could have cried. I immediately threw open my computer, messaged you, and I even put a little comment. I just sent you a message. Please message me back. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe I missed my baby's grad party. But
I tell you, we looked for you, and I was telling my family about you, about how you took such good care of Andrew, how you loved him and gave him so much discipline and stayed connected with us. Because those middle school years, Miss Wilcox, you know, you were a teacher for decades. Those are some, you know, very challenging times for kids.
Very challenging.
And you mm-hmm. were right there for Andrew.
And that's when they need the most love and understanding, because they're extreme. They're either all the way up on this end or all the way over on this end. There's no middle ground with them. and you just got to be able to deal with the extremes with them and just love them through them. And, you know, and I knew it was time for me to retire when I started getting too tired and worn out. I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. My love meter started dropping a little bit. But it was a joy to be there. Someone I sat behind, former students, grandparents and uncles and aunts and parents, and they asked me, well, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been coming? I said, I try to come every year, you know, and just to let the kids know how very, very proud I am and to see the achievements that they've made, you know. And I always say it does take a village, and I've been so honored to be a part of your family's village. And just, my heart was so broken. I didn't get to party with you guys yesterday because I know y'all had a good time.
You know we had a good time. Let me tell you what we had.
I know y'all did.
My mama made Louisiana gumbo. She brought all the real andouille sausage and dried shrimp and stuff. She was getting ready to make the food. Miss Wilcox, she told my daddy, go downstairs and get the shrimp. And we were like, downstairs to get the shrimp? It's in my suitcase. It's in the big. Miss Wilcox, she done packed like she Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hills. She got shrimp and sausage and chicken in the suitcase. She not playing with us. So she brought all her stuff from down south. And Ms. Wilcox, let me tell you something. These Minnesota folk, they didn't even know what to call the gumbo. They was calling it clam chowder. They was like, this is delicious. I said, this is not clam chowder, Minnesota. This is Louisiana gumbo.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I missed it, but I would like to come over because I do want to congratulate him in person and give him a big hug because I saw you and your parents are just absolutely beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so glad we got to see you today at the graduation.
I am, too. I didn't get to see Andrew, but I did. As a matter of fact, I sat a little bit above you, and I didn't want to holler your name out. I'm like, we ain't going to be too ghetto.
You could have hollered. I'd have jumped over them people behind me to get to you.
No, but I'm like, I'm gonna be nice. But anyway, it was so good to see you and just so good to just still be able to celebrate these kids and see just how far they come. Because middle school, you just don't know which way it's going to go. And when they get to high school and you see, wow, they really, really, they made it. And just, like I said, to be a part of so many kids' lives is just, it's been such a blessing to me. And they've blessed me in so many ways. You know, one of the songs that I tell my kids I want to be sung at my home going is, my living has not been in vain. Mm-hmm. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. And that's, you know, that's pretty much, you know, why I do what I do, because I don't want my life to be a life that's in vain. And I love people and love my kids. My kids get mad at me for saying this. I don't have any grandbabies of my own, so I have to, you know.
You done adopted everybody else's kids.
I adopted everybody else's kids, and I call them all my babies.
And, you know, that talks about your level of commitment to Ms. Wilcox there. You are retired. You are not required to go to these graduations, but you were there and happy to be there, happy to see not only the children, but their families and everybody that saw you, ran to you and was connected to you and wanted to say hi. And, you know, everybody was equally excited, just kind of lining up to say hey to Miss Wilcox and introduce her to their family and friends. And you know, I was in that group. I was in that number. I was trying to get to you before I got to Andrew. I was like, oh, there's Miss Wilcox. And so I'm going to just let you know, you're living, your life has not been in vain. You have been such a blessing to not just my child, but, you know, all the children that have passed through your math class at Cottage Grove Middle School. So I wanted to get on you, but I also wanted to thank you. So thank you for being a part of the show tonight.
Thank you, too. And like I said, now you give me a call and let me know when's a good time I can stop by. We just have dinner or lunch or something together so I can just see you guys and see him again before he leaves for school, okay?
All right, I will. We love you, Ms. Wilcox.
Love you guys, too. Thank you, Shaletta. Have a great day.
All right, you too. And you all stick around. We'll be right back. I'm going to just tell you, when I had my first son, Andrew, who graduated from high school today, just this morning, Sean and I were looking at childcare because we were in Minnesota. We had no family, friends, or support. We had only been living here like a year or so, and I'm funny. I didn't trust anybody with my baby. And so I said, well, we got to find good, decent childcare. someplace where he can not only be safe, but also learn and grow. And I need somebody that's going to help me be a better mother. You know, a program that's got some parent education training, some folks who are going to get me right, get me straight, and make sure that my son is well taken care of. And so we started looking around, and we found a place. And I drove past there today and pointed it out to my friends, LaTanya and Fanshawn, who are here with me visiting for Andrew's graduation. And I said, that's where Andrew went to preschool. I said, and ladies, hold on to your hats. It was $1,200 a month, and that was part-time. He went from 8 to 1. And I was working over at My Talk at the time, and I was doing Kevin Berger's morning show, and it was over at 12. And I would hightail it from downtown St. Paul over at Hubbard Broadcasting to Woodbury to pick Andrew up. And if I was late, it was like $1 million every 5 minutes. So a lot of times the monthly bill was $2 million. Okay. And at some point I just looked at Sean and said, I just want to stay home because I'm literally netting $200-$300. And we're a two parent household, two incomes, degree, and could not afford childcare. I made the decision to stay home and did not work for like 2 years. Because I just couldn't afford it. And so he went off to kindergarten. And so when I found out about a new preschool program that Lutheran Social Service is putting on the east side, it's an early learning center. I had to get on the radio and tell y'all about it. It's coming in September. It's opening after Labor Day. And Gabe Marcombe is the director, and Gabe is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Gabe, you got to tell me about this new preschool, because there's one word that is my favorite word about this preschool, and you got to tell them what it is, girl.
Absolutely. Our preschool on the east side that we're got going on is a full-day program supporting kids from 2 to 5 years old, and we're there to support families that live on the east side, greater east side, and it is something that is available to families that qualify for CCAP, or which is child care assistance programs, or scholarship programs, or just community members too. But if they qualify for child care assistance, that amount of funds covers the cost of the child care or the preschool that the students are participating in.
So basically, it would be free.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
That's my favorite word. That's my favorite word, girl. Now, yeah. This program is the most important part for me after being free. The parents need to know that it is a full day program.
Yes.
And you also will be providing extended care. How important was that?
Very important. We actually have a preschool right now that's in the Rondo Frogtown neighborhood as a partial day program. And we see that that's not what our community needs. I mean, they do need preschool that's partial day, but they would benefit from full day programming. And so that's why we're prioritizing that with our east side site. And so we get started at 8 o'clock, and we're there until 6, so that parents can get to work and do their work and have time to come home and get their kiddos and not have to worry about racing home before the fees are tacked on and all of that nonsense that happens for families.
Yeah, and the other thing that parents worry about too is student-teacher ratio. How much attention are the kids going to get? What's their day going to be like? Because, you know, I'm looking at Cottage Grove, and I'm seeing all these new houses go up, and there's already 32 kids in the classroom, and I'm like, where are they going to pack these kids? How are they going to stack them on top of each other? Is it going to be a double-decker classroom, like double-decker buses? But I was so pleased to hear about your teacher-to-student ratio. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our preschool and our early childhood center in the east side will be able to boast a 5-to-1 ratio, because we are supporting our community members who may come from a place of stress, or kids that just need that extra focus and attention and support in the classroom. Our educators are trained in trauma-informed practices and really supporting the social and emotional development of our kiddos so that we can be there to help equip them to be friends in the classroom who can take turns and sit for their turn and really participate in the classroom space so that they're ready for kindergarten when the classrooms are that big, when they do get to 20, 25 kids per classroom with just one adult.
Yeah, that's so important. But there's another important piece of this story, and I'm going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, not only do you have childcare available, but you also have jobs available. And especially on this east side, at this new center, you will have some employment opportunities for people. I want to make sure we talk about that. So you all stick around for more information. It is 7:48, and I have just spoken with Kent Erdahl over at Care 11 News. There is a news briefing going on now live in Hopkins about the 4-year-old nonverbal autistic boy who went missing this morning at 7:30 a.m. from his home in an apartment complex in Hopkins. He is going to be giving me the latest information as soon as he has that available, and I will get it to you. But again, the Hopkins Police Department is updating the media about the details surrounding that 4-year-old missing boy in Hopkins, and I promise you I will have the latest on that. I want to continue our discussion about this free preschool opportunity available on the east side of St. Paul through Lutheran Social Service. And during the commercial break, we were talking to Gabe, and people were texting and they were DMing me. And Gabe, these folks want to know, where is the website? They were like, girl, we heard you talking, but we need the details. We need the information. Can you give us that? Because we need to go online and get the latest about what's going on after you get off the radio.
Absolutely. You can go to lssmn.org/preschool. And there on the website, you'll see information for our Frogtown Rondo site and for our upcoming East Side site. And so there's opportunity there to put down your information and so that someone from our group can contact you and get your child on the list and enrolled for preschool and through childcare through us. Yeah.
That is going to be amazing. Another amazing thing is that you have job opportunities available at this site. What positions do you have available and how can folks apply?
Absolutely. Again, back on that LSS page, you're going to be able to go ahead and find open positions there as well. We're hiring our lead teachers, assistant teachers, and aides for that early learning center. And on top of it, if you find that there's people that are excited about early learning but may not have the qualifications needed for those positions, we actually were able to partner with our employment services, which is a part of the big umbrella that is Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota, and create a training opportunity for people to come in and get paid to work, paid to take the classes, and we will even pay for the classes for individuals to receive their certification so that they can be qualified as lead teachers in early childhood.
Oh, my God. So if folks are out there and they are listening, they're changing careers, they're wanting to do something they're passionate about, which may be educating young children. This is an opportunity where they can switch careers or get on board to do this work to help these young kids get a great start in their educational journey. And you will pay to train them to do that?
Yeah, we will pay to train them and we will pay them to get their experience hours as well. So anyone who's interested in that, they can email preschooltraining@lssmn.org. And we want to be hearing from our community members that are looking for that opportunity because we would love to connect them for this. It would just be just beautiful to see our East Side Center staff with East Side community members mm-hmm. when our neighborhood and our neighbors can show up for each other. Like, that's what Lutheran Social Service is about, is equipping community to serve community.
Oh, my gosh. I love this. I love the fact that you've got this preschool that'll be free for families who qualify and for families out there who are looking for work. And you know somebody, you know, a cousin or niece or nephew or neighbor who may have just graduated from college, who worked at another preschool or was a therapist and wants to change careers. This is a perfect opportunity. Gabe Marcombe, thank you so much for being on the show and for all this great information to pass along to our listeners.
Absolutely. I mean, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. You have a great night. And you as too. Promised, I wanted to update you on the young 4-year-old boy who went missing at 7:30 this morning in Hopkins from his house. He is nonverbal and he has autism. And so right now, the Hopkins Police Department is updating the media about what is going on out in that community with regard to this search and rescue mission. And according to Kent Erdahl, our friend over at Care 11, award-winning broadcaster and journalist, he is there on the scene and is feeding me the information as it is given to him, as well as the live stream that is up now. And the police did confirm that someone saw the boy on foot leaving the building and walking east, which would have been toward that body of water that we talked about at the top of the hour. They said they want to find him alive, and they are asking for anyone east of 169, west of 100, south of Highway 7, and north of Excelsior. Check your property closely, since he could hunker down somewhere. I'm going to just tell you, when I had my first son, Andrew, who graduated from high school today, just this morning, Sean and I were looking at childcare because we were in Minnesota. We had no family, friends, or support. We had only been living here like a year or so, and I'm funny. I didn't trust anybody with my baby. And so I said, well, we got to find good, decent childcare. Someplace where he can not only be safe, but also learn and grow. And I need somebody that's going to help me be a better mother. You know, a program that's got some parent education training, some folks who are going to get me right, get me straight, and make sure that my son is well taken care of. And so we started looking around, and we found a place. And I drove past there today and pointed it out to my friends, LaTanya and Fanshawn, who are here with me visiting for Andrew's graduation. And I said, that's where Andrew went to preschool. I said, and ladies, hold on to your hats. It was $1,200 a month, and that was part-time. He went from 8 to 1. And I was working over at My Talk at the time, and I was doing Kevin Berger's morning show, and it was over at 12. And I would hightail it from downtown St. Paul over at Hubbard Broadcasting to Woodbury to pick Andrew up. And if I was late, it was like $1 million every 5 minutes. So a lot of times the monthly bill was $2 million. Okay. And at some point I just looked at Sean and said, I just want to stay home because I'm literally netting $200-$300. And we're a two parent household, two incomes, degree, and could not afford childcare. I made the decision to stay home and did not work for like 2 years. Because I just couldn't afford it. And so he went off to kindergarten. And so when I found out about a new preschool program that Lutheran Social Service is putting on the east side, it's an early learning center. I had to get on the radio and tell y'all about it. It's coming in September. It's opening after Labor Day. And Gabe Marcombe is the director, and Gabe is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Gabe, you got to tell me about this new preschool, because there's one word that is my favorite word about this preschool, and you got to tell them what it is, girl.
Absolutely. Our preschool on the east side that we're got going on is a full-day program supporting kids from 2 to 5 years old, and we're there to support families that live on the east side, greater east side, and it is something that is available to families that qualify for CCAP, or which is child care assistance programs, or scholarship programs, or just community members too. But if they qualify for child care assistance, that amount of funds covers the cost of the child care or the preschool that the students are participating in.
So basically, it would be free.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
That's my favorite word. That's my favorite word, girl. Now, this program is, this is the most important part for me, after being free. The parents need to know that it is a full day program.
Yes.
And you also will be providing extended care. How important was that?
Very important. We actually have a preschool right now that's in the Rondo Frogtown neighborhood as a partial day program. And we see that that's not what our community needs. I mean, they do need preschool that's partial day, but they would benefit from full day programming. And so that's why we're prioritizing that with our East Side site. And so we get started at 8 o'clock and we're there until 6 so that parents can get to work and do their work and have time to come home and get their kiddos and not have to worry about racing home before the fees are tacked on and all of that nonsense that happens for families.
Yeah. And the other thing that parents worry about, too, is student teacher ratio. How much attention are the kids going to get? You know, what's their day going to be like? Because, you know, I'm looking at Cottage Grove and I'm seeing all these new houses go up and there's already 32 kids in the classroom. And I'm like, where are they going to pack these kids? How are they going to stack them on top of each other? Is it going to be a double decker classroom, like double decker buses? But I was so pleased to hear about your teacher to student ratio. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our preschool and our early childhood center in the East Side will be able to boast a 5-to-1 ratio because we are supporting our community members who may come from a place of stress or kids that just need that extra focus and attention and support in the classroom. Our educators are trained in trauma-informed practices and really supporting the social and emotional development of our kiddos so that we can be there to help equip them to be friends in the classroom who can take turns and sit for their turn and really participate in the classroom space so that they're ready for kindergarten when the classrooms are that big, when they do get to 20, 25 kids per classroom with just one adult.
Yeah, that's so important. But there's another important piece of this story, and I'm going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, not only do you have childcare available, but you also have jobs available. And especially on this East Side, at this new center, you will have some employment opportunities for people. I want to make sure we talk about that. So you all stick around for more information. It is 7:48 and I have just spoken with Kent Erdahl over at Care 11 News. There is a news briefing going on now live in Hopkins about the 4-year-old nonverbal autistic boy who went missing this morning at 7:30 a.m. from his home in an apartment complex in Hopkins. He is going to be giving me the latest information as soon as he has that available, and I will get it to you. But again, the Hopkins Police Department is updating the media about the details surrounding that 4-year-old missing boy in Hopkins, and I promise you I will have the latest on that. I want to continue our discussion about this free preschool opportunity available on the East Side of St. Paul through Lutheran Social Service. And during the commercial break, we were talking to Gabe, and people were texting and they were DMing me. And Gabe, these folks want to know, where is the website? They were like, girl, we heard you talking, but we need the details. We need the information. Can you give us that? Because we need to go online and get the latest about what's going on after you get off the radio.
Absolutely. You can go to lssmn.org/preschool. And there on the website, you'll see information for our Frogtown Rondo site and for our upcoming East Side site. And so there's opportunity there to put down your information and so that someone from our group can contact you and get your child on the list and enrolled for preschool and through childcare, through us. Yeah.
That is going to be amazing. Another amazing thing is that you have job opportunities available at this site. What positions do you have available and how can folks apply?
Absolutely. Again, back on that LSS page, you're going to be able to go ahead and find open positions there as well. We're hiring our lead teachers, assistant teachers, and aides for that early learning center. And on top of it, if you find that there's people that are excited about early learning, but may not have the qualifications needed for those positions, we actually were able to partner with our employment services, which is a part of the big umbrella that is Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota, and create a training opportunity for people to come in and get paid to work, paid to take the classes, and we will even pay for the classes for individuals to receive their certification so that they can be qualified as lead teachers in early childhood.
Oh, my God. So if folks are out there and they are listening, they're changing careers, they're wanting to do something they're passionate about, which may be educating young children, this is an opportunity where they can switch careers or get on board to do this work to help these young kids get a great start in their educational journey. And you will pay to train them to do that?
Yeah, we will pay to train them, and we will pay them to get their experience hours as well. So anyone who's interested in that, they can email preschooltraining@lssmn.org. And we want to be hearing from our community members that are looking for that opportunity, because we would love to connect them for this. It would just be just beautiful to see our Eastside Center staff with Eastside community members mm-hmm. when our neighborhood and our neighbors can show up for each other. Like, that's what Lutheran Social Service is about, is equipping community to serve community.
Oh, my gosh. I love this. I love the fact that you've got this preschool that'll be free for families who qualify and for families out there who are looking for work. And you know somebody, you know, a cousin or niece or nephew or neighbor who may have just graduated from college, who worked at another preschool or was a therapist and wants to change careers. This is a perfect opportunity. Gabe Marcombe, thank you so much for being on the show and for all this great information to pass along to our listeners.
Absolutely. I mean, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. You have a great night. And
you
as
too.
Promised, I wanted to update you on the young 4-year-old boy who went missing at 7:30 this morning in Hopkins from his house. He is nonverbal and he has autism. And so right now, the Hopkins Police Department is updating the media about what is going on out in that community with regard to the search and rescue mission. And according to Kent Erdahl, our friend over at Care 11, award-winning broadcaster and journalist, he is there on the scene and is feeding me the information as it is given to him, as well as the live stream that is up now. And the police did confirm that someone saw the boy on foot leaving the building and walking east, which would have been toward that body of water that we talked about at the top of the hour. They said they want to find him alive, and they are asking for anyone east of 169, west of 100, south of Highway 7, and north of Excelsior, check your property closely, since he could hunker down somewhere. And that is kids with autism. They find a spot and they will sit and stay there. And they won't move. And so check your backyard. If you've had your garage open today, check it. If your car is unlocked, just do me a favor. If you're in Hopkins, again, if you are east of 169, west of 100, south of Highway 7, and north of Excelsior, check your property. Check your cars. Check your trash cans. I know it sounds crazy. Right? You're thinking, oh, you know, it's a kid. I'd hear him. He'd make some noise. He'd cry. No kid's going to crawl in my trunk. No kid's going to crawl in my car and just lay down. No kid's going to go in my garage. No kid's going to be in my backyard and just sit there quietly and just pick grass, blades for hours. I was just out there. Do me a favor. Just check. Just go look. Just double check. And make sure that this child is not on your property or in your car. Because that's the thing about nonverbal kids with autism. They will sit in the corner and open and close pill bottles for hours without saying a word. My daughter Cameron, before she could talk, would just sit in the backyard and pick blades of grass. And if I didn't know she was out there and didn't look, I would never hear her, because, again, she can't talk. So if you don't have a lot of experience with kids who have autism, you would think that this is rare or wouldn't happen, but that is their normal everyday life. And if you do encounter this child, as a parent who has a child with autism, don't scream their name. Don't get too excited. I'd ask you to do this. Extend your hand. Just extend your hand. Let them grab your hand. Bring them inside. Lock the doors, because apparently this child is a wanderer. And call 911. Call 911 and keep that child safe until authorities can arrive. And pray. Because we're going to need prayer for this situation to turn out positive. We don't want this news story to be what we know this news story can be. And it is so frightening for parents who have kids with autism. Again, combination locks on the doors if you're a grandparent and you have a kid with autism. Deadbolts. Put something on the glass if you have sliding glass doors so that there's a lock. Put chirps on the doors. Call your friends at Xfinity. You're going to need that to make sure these children, like my babies, are safe. It is 7:48, and I have just spoken with Kent Erdahl over at Care 11 News. There is a news briefing going on now live in Hopkins about the 4-year-old nonverbal autistic boy who went missing this morning at 7:30 a.m. from his home in an apartment complex in Hopkins. He is going to be giving me the latest information as soon as he has that available, and I will get it to you. But again, the Hopkins Police Department is updating the media about the details surrounding that 4-year-old missing boy in Hopkins. And I promise you, I will have the latest on that. I want to continue our discussion about this free preschool opportunity available on the east side of St. Paul through Lutheran Social Service. And during the commercial break, we were talking to Gabe, and people were texting and they were DMing me. And Gabe, these folks want to know, where is the website? They were like, girl, we heard you talking, but we need the details. We need the information. Can you give us that? Because we need to go online and get the latest about what's going on after you get off the radio.
Absolutely. You can go to lssmn.org/preschool. And there on the website, you'll see information for our Frogtown Rondo site and for our upcoming East Side site. And so there's opportunity there to put down your information and so that someone from our group can contact you and get your child on the list and enrolled for preschool and through childcare, through us. Yeah.
That is going to be amazing. Another amazing thing is that you have job opportunities available at this site. What positions do you have available and how can folks apply?
Absolutely. Again, back on that LSS page, you're going to be able to go ahead and find open positions there as well. We're hiring our lead teachers, assistant teachers, and aides for that early learning center. And on top of it, if you find that there's people that are excited about early learning, but may not have the qualifications needed for those positions, we actually were able to partner with our employment services, which is a part of the big umbrella that is Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota, and create a training opportunity for people to come in and get paid to work, paid to take the classes, and we will even pay for the classes for individuals to receive their certification so that they can be qualified as lead teachers in early childhood.
Oh, my God. So if folks are out there and they are listening, they're changing careers, they're wanting to do something they're passionate about, which may be educating young children. This is an opportunity where they can switch careers or get on board to do this work to help these young kids get a great start in their educational journey. And you will pay to train them to do that?
Yeah, we will pay to train them and we will pay them to get their experience hours as well. So anyone who's interested in that, they can email preschooltraining@lssmn.org. And we want to be hearing from our community members that are looking for that opportunity, because we would love to connect them for this. It would just be just beautiful to see our Eastside Center staff with Eastside community members mm-hmm. when our neighborhood and our neighbors can show up for each other. Like, that's what Lutheran Social Service is about, is equipping community to serve community.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love the fact that you've got this preschool that'll be free for families who qualify and for families out there who are looking for work. And you know somebody, you know a cousin or niece or nephew or neighbor who may have just graduated from college, who worked at another preschool or was a therapist and wants to change careers. This is a perfect opportunity. Gabe Marcombe, thank you so much for being on the show and for all this great information to pass along to our listeners.
Absolutely. I mean, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. You have a great night. And as promised, I wanted to update you on the young 4-year-old boy who went missing at 7:30 this morning in Hopkins from his house. He is nonverbal and he has autism. And so right now, the Hopkins Police Department is updating the media about what is going on out in that community with regard to the search and rescue mission. And according to Kent Erdahl, our friend over at Care 11, award-winning broadcaster and journalist, he is there on the scene and is feeding me the information as it is given to him, as well as the live stream that is up now. And the police did confirm that someone saw the boy on foot leaving the building and walking east, which would have been toward that body of water that we talked about at the top of the hour. They said they want to find him alive, and they are asking for anyone east of 169, west of 100, south of Highway 7, and north of Excelsior. Check your property closely, since he could hunker down somewhere. And that is kids with autism. They find a spot and they will sit and stay there. And they won't move. And so check your backyard. If you've had your garage open today, check it. If your car is unlocked, just do me a favor. If you're in Hopkins, again, if you are east of 169, west of 100, south of Highway 7, and north of Excelsior, check your property. Check your cars. Check your trash cans. I know it sounds crazy, right? You're thinking, oh, you know, it's a kid. I'd hear him. He'd make some noise. He'd cry. No kid's going to crawl in my trunk. No kid's going to crawl in my car and just lay down. No kid's going to go in my garage. No kid's going to be in my backyard and just sit there quietly and just pick grass blades for hours. I was just out there. Do me a favor. Just check. Just go look. Just double check. And make sure that this child is not on your property or in your car. Because that's the thing about nonverbal kids with autism. They will sit in the corner and open and close pill bottles for hours without saying a word. My daughter Cameron, before she could talk, would just sit in the backyard and pick blades of grass. And if I didn't know she was out there and didn't look, I would never hear her, because again, she can't talk. So if you don't have a lot of experience with kids who have autism, you would think that this is rare or wouldn't happen, but that is their normal everyday life. And if you do encounter this child, as a parent who has a child with autism, don't scream their name. Don't get too excited. I'd ask you to do this. Extend your hand. Just extend your hand. Let them grab your hand. Bring them inside. Lock the doors, because apparently this child is a wanderer. And call 911. Call 911 and keep that child safe until authorities can arrive. And pray. Because we're going to need prayer for this situation to turn out positive. We don't want this news story to be what we know this news story can be. And it is so frightening for parents who have kids with autism. Again, combination locks on the doors if you're a grandparent and you have a kid with autism. Deadbolts. Put something on the glass if you have sliding glass doors so that there's a lock. Put chirps on the doors. Call your friends at Xfinity. You're going to need that to make sure these children, like my babies, are safe.